I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, Public Radio International, and WGBH Boston. Remember last week's headlines about Al-Qaeda staging a comeback in Iraq, how major cities like Fallujah and Ramadi were falling to the jihadists? Well, it seems some local Sunni tribes switched sides and joined government forces pushing back on Al-Qaeda. And there is more bad news for the jihadis from Syria. Rebel groups there have combined to attack Al-Qaeda as well. Those two storylines are connected. Borzoud Daragahi of the Financial Times has been reporting on both countries for years. Borzoud, how closely related are the Al-Qaeda branches in Iraq and Syria?
Well, you have a bunch of groups in both countries, but the group that everyone is sort of buzzing about lately is one called the Islamic State of Iraq and Greater Syria, or the Levant, known by the acronym ISIS. And this ISIS is a very novel concept for a Islamic militant group. It's focused on two countries at once, and it is led by one person, a man named Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, who is in command, nominally, of forces in two countries, in Iraq and in Syria. And, you know, this is the one group that many people have been very worried about. It's got a sort of the trappings of a government. When it takes over a town, it begins painting buildings black and putting its sign, its logo, so to speak, on government buildings. It sees itself as running territory once it captures it, rather than merely fighting against Bashar al-Assad, which is what many of the other militant groups in Syria have been doing.
So are the ISIS foot soldiers mostly Iraqis and Syrians then?
I think that ISIS foot soldiers are mostly Iraqi and Syrians, but they include people from other Arab countries. And there are even units that include people from as far afield as Indonesia and Chechnya. This is a transnational Islamic militant phenomenon. They don't believe in national boundaries. They believe in Islam as the only authority to which to answer. And, you know, in that sense, many people in Syria, for example, many of the rebel groups see them as somewhat alien to their cause.
I mean, as far as Iraq goes, it seems the turning of the Sunni tribes against Al-Qaeda, it's almost like a rerun of the Anbar Awakening in 2007. Are these, in fact, the same tribes that became allies with the U.S. back then?
Some of them are definitely. For example, you had the emir of the Dulaimi tribe, which is Anbar province's largest, over the weekend declaring that they were opposed to the presence of ISIS in their region and that people should rise up against it, sort of throwing in his lot with the government, even though there's huge tensions between the vast majority of Sunnis and the Shia-dominated government of Nouri Maliki. I mean, if this works in Iraq, Nouri Maliki he really owes a lot. He owes his skin to these Sunni tribesmen because he has not been good to them. He is, in many respects, the cause of Al-Qaeda coming back to Iraq. His sectarian rhetoric, his policies, his security forces have created a fertile ground for Al-Qaeda to come back into Iraq. And if these guys save his butt, so to speak, he really owes them.
Borza, you've been covering these kinds of conflicts for quite a while now. And I'm just wondering how, you know, you see something like this. It's sort of like, well, Iraq, it's a country, it's emerged from this wreckage of war, but now this. I mean, how does it affect you?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been a little tough to see where 2014 is heading. You know, we've now had 3 straight years of very intense conflict and political turmoil throughout the Middle East and North Africa. And it seems like 2014 is heading south really quickly. I was just in Beirut for the holidays, and I was, you know, going to breakfast to see my daughter at breakfast, and you know, all of a sudden there was a car bombing in the middle of Beirut and a big explosion, and it just sort of brought me back to those days in Baghdad 8-9 years ago, and it makes you think about where the region is heading and how much that sensation that a bomb could go off anywhere at any moment has really spread and really pervaded so much of the region.
Borzoud Daragahi of the Financial Times, thank you.
It's been a pleasure.